I'm making this video at night in the dark because I have to talk about something that I don't want to talk about, but that I have to talk about, and that is that this errant teaching is coming around again. It's a very, very serious departure from truth, or else I wouldn't bother with it. I already bothered with it once, and now I have to bother with it again because many of you are going to be disquieted and you're going to be disturbed, and I don't want you to be disturbed. And those who are disturbing you are using false, say, bad scholarship. The article in question concerns the pre-existence of Jesus Christ. As you know, Aaron Welch wrote a series of articles. Maybe you don't know this, so I will tell you about it now. A series of articles called, Was Jesus Christ Alive Before He Came to Earth? Something of that nature. Was Jesus Christ alive before he came to earth? Aaron's answer is no. That's a bad answer. It's a wrong answer. And I wrote three issues of the ZWTF refuting his arguments. His arguments were weak and easily refuted. But if you're just a casual reader and you're looking at Aaron's articles, they sound very intelligent, and because he's a good writer. So when you read this stuff, you think, wow, this could possibly be right. He sounds so smart and intelligent. And he is smart and intelligent, Aaron Welch is, except on this. He's not smart or intelligent on this topic. So I refuted it in the ZWTF, and you can read those issues. ZWTF, go to my website, martinzender.com, volume 6, issues 49, 50, and 51. I totally refute it because the arguments are, like I said, they're like a sandcastle. The disturbing thing to me is what disturbed me today was finding out that in today's BSN, Bible Students Notebook from Clyde Pilkington, he's running a 12-part series. He's reprinting Aaron's article. I'm like, oh my gosh, here it comes again. Here it comes again, like a bad check. So now, you're going to be treated to 12 parts, recycled error. This is serious. This is extremely serious because it removes Christ's second greatest glory from him. It takes it away from him. His first greatest glory is going to the cross. And I think the second greatest glory, it's a very close second, is he emptied himself, came to be in fashion as a human. That was a great sacrifice on his part. And he volunteered for it. And you know, if Jesus Christ didn't live before he was born in Bethlehem, then how could Jesus Christ have emptied himself and taken the form of a human? Simple question. You have to ask yourself, how could anybody argue against that? Well, Aaron says that he didn't take the form of a human until his baptism at the Jordan River. I mean, it would be comedic if it wasn't so serious, if it wasn't so serious of a departure, and it de-glorifies Jesus Christ. There are many plain statements in Scripture, correctly translated Scripture. Jesus says, Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world was. Christ is called the firstborn of all creation. Through him, all is created, Colossians chapter 1. How could that be? How could all be created through Christ if Christ didn't exist before he slipped from his mommy's uterus in Bethlehem? Absolutely. It's very agitating that someone of Aaron's intelligence and Clyde's intelligence could put forward this teaching. they will be ashamed of it at the dais of Christ. I'm not saying we all won't have things that we'll be ashamed of, but this is a biggie. It'll be burned up, this teaching. I do my best to burn it up here on earth, because I hate it when Christ is demeaned. Now, oh, and Jesus also said, before Abraham was born, I am. Pretty plain there. Then he says he's going to return to the Father. Anyway, what could possibly be the motive of someone to torture scripture verses? To produce a teaching that said Jesus Christ did not exist until he slipped into the world through his mommy's uterus. Well, Aaron Welch hates the Trinity so badly, and I commend him for this, that he doesn't like how the Trinitarians use the teaching of the preexistence of Christ, which is a scriptural fact. The Trinitarians use that to support their teaching on the Trinity. Well, it's an illegal use of a truth, but does the illegal use of a truth eliminate a truth? No. The Unitarians use the truth of the salvation of all. They use it illicitly. They don't base the salvation of all on the cross. Does that mean we have to disprove the salvation of all just because somebody uses it illicitly? I wouldn't think so. When Paul says in Colossians 1:16 that all is created through Christ, Aaron says, well, Paul didn't mean created there. He didn't mean created. And then he goes on a multi-word dissertation on why Paul didn't mean what he said. I talked to a mature brother about this, and he said, why does Aaron feel it necessary to spend pages explaining what Paul meant to say by a simple word, created? All is created through Christ. That is another one of his chief glories. All is out of God, but all is through Christ. He's the firstborn of all creation. Nothing that exists came into existence apart from Christ. And Revelation 3:14, Christ is called the origin of the creation of God. Concordance says God's creative original. Christ is the image of the invisible God. And John chapter 1 confirms that all the Old Testament theophanies were actually the Word. They were Christ. You would ask, you might ask, you should ask, how does he get around Christ emptying himself, taking the form of a human? It's extremely tortured. Again, he claims that Christ didn't take the form of humanity until his baptism at the Jordan River. In which case, when he was a little boy growing up in Nazareth, doing carpentry work with his father Joseph, that he was not in the form of humanity at that time. It's ridiculous. It's a little bit embarrassing. I will ask you this as well. When we get a new revelation, and this is a new revelation, you see. This is a new teaching. It's a new discovery. When we get new teachings, we like to see how these new teachings, how these great new epic discoveries in the Word of God will amplify Christ, glorify God. How in the world does this amplify Christ and glorify God? When we learned of the salvation of all, that was a great thing. We learned that, oh, God really is not going to torment people for eternity. We can prove it in the Scripture, and we glorify Christ as a successful Savior. When we find out that God is sovereign, it comforts us. Wow, this is a huge, great thing, because now we know that things don't depend on the human will, that God is operating all in accord with the counsel of his will. But I ask you this. What does the great revelation that Jesus Christ did not exist until he came out of his mommy in Bethlehem, do you hear that and think, oh, wow, this really glorifies Christ? No. No. It's a terrible teaching. And I have to name names. This is why I don't like it. This is why I'm doing this under cover of darkness, because I don't like to say this about my friends. And they're my dear friends. I love Aaron Welch and Clyde Pilkington. But now they're in cahoots. And I wish they hadn't have done this without the proper research. Aaron also says that because we were foreknown before the disruption of the world, and because Christ is also said to be foreknown, that therefore, and because we didn't exist before our birth, therefore Christ didn't exist before his birth, simply because both of us were foreknown. Well, that is a major error of logic. It's called a non sequitur. It does not follow that just because we were foreknown and Christ was foreknown, therefore, that proves that we're just like Christ. It's just nonsensical. And I disrupt it, I dispute it, and I disprove it in the ZWTF. And I'm happy that I did that. And those are important issues. So I don't want anybody to be disturbed when they read Clyde. And I know it's a shock because Clyde is so good, and so is Aaron, so good at other topics. Aaron writes so well on other subjects. But this is a mess. It's convoluted, it's tortured, it's illogical, and it's wrong. And I am happy to report to you that the Son of God voluntarily took the form of humanity, was emptied from his celestial glory. This was his first great sacrifice. We often talk about Christ, about Adam being a type of Christ, and that Adam voluntarily joined his wife Eve in sin and death. That it was Eve, Paul says, that was deceived, not Adam. Adam was not deceived, but the woman coming to be in the transgression was deceived. And Adam, as a type of Christ, voluntarily, because of his love for her, joined her. If Christ did not pre-exist, then he didn't volunteer for anything. And if he didn't volunteer for anything, then he is lesser than Adam. Adam volunteered to join us in sin and death. Christ did not. But he did. And the great truth of Colossians chapter 1 is this, and it depends on the pre-existence of Christ, is that he's the firstborn of all creation. All was created through Christ. And he's also the firstborn from among the dead. This gives him a vital connection with his creation that he wouldn't otherwise have if he didn't show up, if he didn't exist. This is the contention of Aaron Welch and Clyde Pilkington, that Jesus Christ did not exist until Mary pushed him from his womb in Bethlehem. It takes away his responsibility for creation. It takes away the beautiful truth of Colossians, that the same one who created all is responsible to bring all from the dead. I hate to see Christ demeaned. The Trinity does demean Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ's glory was to serve the Father, was to do the Father's will, and I hate the Trinity as much as these gentlemen do. But I will not take a truth that happens to be used by Trinitarians and try to disprove that truth, to take away a weapon of the Trinitarians. That's just nuts. It's unnecessary. It's worse than unnecessary. It's tragic, because in doing so, we take away, again, one of the greatest glories of Jesus Christ, that is emptying himself and coming to be in the fashion of a human. Jesus Christ's humiliation was two parts. Philippians 2. It's very distinct here. He emptied himself, taking the form of humanity, and he humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Nobody's immune to error. Not me, not you, not Clyde, not Aaron. And if the error is big enough, and if it's serious enough, it needs to be exposed. The error needs to be exposed, and those forwarding the error need to be rebuked. Paul named Hymenaeus and Philetus. Paul says, don't remember what letter it's in, Hymenaeus and Philetus swerve as to the truth, saying that the resurrection has already occurred. This was a serious enough error that the resurrection had already occurred. How did that make people feel if they missed the resurrection? Paul had to stop it in its tracks. The resurrection had not already occurred. Paul therefore followed his own advice to Timothy to expose, rebuke, and entreat. He exposed the teaching. No, the resurrection has not occurred yet. And he rebuked the teachers. He named them Hymenaeus and Philetus. Paul was saying, basically, whenever you hear the names Hymenaeus and Philetus, you need to beware because they're going to be telling you some weird things, like that the resurrection has already occurred. I need to tell you that there's a weird thing going out now from men who should know better. And that weird thing is that Jesus Christ did not exist before Bethlehem. These men are not out to deceive you. It's not their goal. I know that. Nevertheless, what they're teaching is a deception. It's disproven quite handily, readily, which I do, again, in ZWTF. Go to martincenter.com. Go to the ZWTF archive. Scroll down to the left-hand side of the page. Volume 6, issues 49, 50, and 51. Do not be disturbed by this. Even though it is disturbing that these brothers would put this forward. I'm disturbed by it. But God is always true. And again, none of us are above it. We go to scriptures to seek things out. We don't take anybody's word for anything. You shouldn't take my word for anything. You should follow up what I say. And check my verses. And don't ignore logic either.